This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
Hello, I'd like to welcome you to paradise, where everyone is riding on a satellite, sending signals, praying for miracles. We should have seen this coming.
Gentlemen, welcome into a very special Smash Master Wrestling edition of the BCP Shameless Promo, brought to you by our friends over at Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located in Englishtown Flea Market, New Jersey. Check them out for all your wrestling, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, retro video game needs. Guys, thank you, Heather, Dan, so much for sponsoring the show. Check them out online on eBay or FunkensteinWrestlingSuperstore.com. Now that the bills are paid, please welcome back to the show, ahead of his 40th birthday party. It's going to be March 5th for Smash Master Wrestling down in Troop. I said it right this time. Civic Center, Troop, PA. Guys, get your tickets now. Please welcome back to the show our good friend, Rosh, Uncle Masty. What's up, bro? How are you, man?
What's happening, my brother? It's good to see you again.
It's good. It's so good to see you, man. It's been a while, man. I've been seeing some of your PA people kind of trickle in and out. I was down in Maryland. I saw a lot of your crew. I was asking a lot of questions about Smash Master, man. I miss your face, man. Just a really general question, man. How have you been? How's the promoter thing going for you, bro?
Well, the promoter thing's going pretty well. Did take a couple months off during the winter. You know how shows can be. We've had a pretty mild winter, but it could be a blizzard at any moment. So it took a couple months to break. Plus, I do the whole seasonal affective disorder thing, and I'm just a miserable person to be around. So try to like lay low a little bit and reboot the old battery, because we are going to be busy this year.
Yeah, and Rosh, I love talking to you, man. Like when you started this whole thing, and man, it was kind of not hush hush, but it was kind of just trickles of it. And you were picking my ear. I was talking to you, man. I'm like this guy, like, he's paying attention. He has a business model, which I think is very important. I think you don't run the third Saturday of every month, which I very much appreciate. You run an early in the month. I appreciate that. You're killing that right now, man. I love being a part of Smash Master Wrestling, man. Peter's doing such a great job down there. I just worked with him over the weekend, man. You have this great, amazing roster, man. Has it been very fulfilling for you just kind of building this roster, you know, bringing in some new pieces here and there and rolling with the punches, man?
Absolutely. There's a lot of fulfillment there. There's a lot of vision that I've had just even within the last couple of years before starting this endeavor. There was things that I would see with people. There was ideas I had that I wasn't quite sure who to, you know, who would fit that role, and to see a lot of it starting to come together, I couldn't be prouder. And I know what's coming this year. I'm just really excited for the slate of action and storytelling and suspense that is coming, and just a good time. You know, we're all about the community, all about the party. We're gonna have a real good party.
And I think you definitely are, man. And we have a lot of new wrestling fans down in Troop PA because of you, man. And I gotta ask you this one, man. I don't want to bury the lead here, dude. But for your 40th birthday, bro, and dude, I thought it was your 29th, to be honest. Let's be real. You're taking on an ambulance street fight, bro. I don't know if that's the way you want to spend your birthday. Masty and J.S. Hawthorne, interesting team up. Now, I haven't been around in a while. Versus, dude, two loose cannons. I'm just going to call it down the middle right now. Jay Bougie and Face. Everything with the fallout of TakeOver. I was just at IWA, and Face just turned on Jocko now, too. So it's just the big mess. I don't know if they're going to work together. I don't know if they're still cool. It's going to be a mess, man. They are intense. They are dangerous, bro. And an ambulance street fight. What are you thinking here, bro? I'm sorry, bro. I just got to ask.
I'm just going to shoot straight with you. Because, you know, Rob. Jay Bougie is good for business.
He is. You're not wrong.
But that's about it. He's really good at getting eyes on. But man, what a hassle! What a hassle to deal with! What a hassle to be around! What a hassle to work with! This guy just doesn't make it easy. And look, anybody that's been paying attention knows that me and Philly Mike aren't exactly, you know, BFFs or anything, but we fight, we don't hate each other. What Bougie did to Philly Mike, who's already on his way out anyway, he just went and made it worse. It just wasn't cool, man. And Face just keeps showing up and picking fights. And you know what? If they want to fight, Rob, if they want to fight, I'll fight them.
Fair enough.
I'll fight them. Gladly. Two of the most vicious members of that little troop that they ran with, I'll take them both at the same time. And you know what, Hawthorne? He and I we have definitely not always gotten along. We are sparring partners, or we have been. We coexist rather decently, but we've also thrown some hands. In fact, two of the matches we've had against each other ended in double knockouts. So I know what I've got watching my back, and you know what? Maybe this is his time to really cement his mark as a big piece of the 570, because he's been kind of flying under the radar. You know, he does a little bit at Invictus. He's popped over at American Excellence down in Hamburg, but no one's really given him the opportunity to shine. And you know what, kid, you're up. You had my back at my Christmas party. You're up. And you know what, if I've said I'm going to do this till the wheels fall off, and if that means I go out in the back of an ambulance, then so be it. And if that means that I put those two meat bags in the back of the ambulance, even better yet. So we're just going to run this till the gas falls out, till the wheels fall off, gas runs out, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to beat the living shit out of Jay Bougie and do the whole independent wrestling community a huge favor. Y'all can send me birthday cards afterwards.
Wow. Wow, man. I try so hard to be impartial, especially with Bougie, man. And first of all, I respect what you're saying, man. You're like, hey, you know what? He's causing problems for a lot of people. He's disrespectful. He's making a lot of noise. That being said, that noise has really paid off for him. He's very smart about the noise he makes, but he's also disrespectful. He was disrespectful to me at your show. He was disrespectful. My girlfriend won that match with a close fist. I didn't forget that, Bougie. I'm not going to do nothing about it, but I didn't forget about how I wrote a strongly worded letter. But that being said, Bougie, he's getting places, man, and I respect that you're like, hey, you know what? If he's causing all these problems, I'm not just going to send someone in or book someone in. I'll do it myself. I appreciate that. Right. Watch out for Face, though.
You know what? Fuck him.
Wow. Wow.
Plain and simple. Wow. I'm not afraid of him. I don't got to wrap my hands in rope to scare people. I don't. I'm just going to punch him in his face repeatedly. Mark my words.
I'm getting shook. I'm getting hot and doing an interview here. Sorry about that, Raj.
He's lucky that the commission is keeping this contained as much as it is. If this was across the river in New Jersey, I can't promise what that would look like.
Yeah.
Fair. I'm going to mess him up. I'm going to mess him up real good. I don't know if you saw Rob on my Instagram after the Christmas show, but he had his hands wrapped in rope and he had my face all scuffed up down the side from our little fist fight. I didn't forget that. I don't forget nothing. Elephants don't forget. And the Mastodon is just a very old elephant. I don't forget nothing. Nothing important.
Wow. Well, I appreciate your honesty and sharing that, man. And I hope you get some retribution, you know, not only for yourself, but, you know, these guys literally took over the Northeast Independence. Then they caused chaos amongst themselves. There was fallout. It affects everybody, man. And I'm going to say, Bougie, he's a loose cannon. Face I can't even get a read on. I'll get away from it. Sorry, I'm getting hot again. That being said, you mentioned the word, completely switching gears here. Opportunity, allowing people to shine, man. My favorite word is opportunity, man. And what you've done with Smash Master Wrestling is you have elevated people who I thought should have been elevated a long time ago, people who are really riding that wave. I would be remiss if I didn't mention first Adina Steele, who arguably is the face of Smash Master Wrestling. Get well, Adina. We just talked to Kit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Why Adina? I mean, I know the answer, but why does Adina Steele get the tap on the shoulder? I believe she should. She beat Monster Slamovich, who was just running through everyone at Impact. It was amazing to see. It was an honor to call that match. Adina has been doing great things running through the gals and guys at Smashmaster. Why does she get the tap on the shoulder?
You've been there when she wrestles. And when she comes through that curtain, what do you hear?
Big chants, people wearing her shirts. Oh, it's amazing.
We call it the Adina Pop, and it's not just here in Scranton. Yeah, that's home. So, yeah, she gets an even bigger one here. But everywhere she goes, she gets the pop. And that's draw power. You know, everybody wants to talk about getting over or going over. Nah, draw power. You want to know where the power lies? It's draw power. Can you bring people to the gate? People come to shows because of Adina Steele. That is power. That is leverage. That is professional wrestling. So yeah, she gets the tap. She deserves it. Not just her draw power. She has the skills and the ability to back that up. She's not just another pretty face floating around selling tickets. This girl can move. This girl can fight. Man, female, male, female, doesn't matter. Man, woman, whatever. Doesn't matter. Adina Steele is an opponent worth not taken lightly.
Yeah, as we've seen, and the resume speaks for itself. She's winning championships everywhere. Again, beat Masha, which was just a huge honor to call that match and be a part of it. But right now, obviously, Adina on the shelf, on her way back, man. And you guys have been doing some great stuff for Adina. I think that's important, man, because and you even said this, man. I feel like a lot of people like preach family and they preach things in the locker room meeting. And I love in your locker room meeting, if it's okay if I share this, man, I could certainly edit it out. But I love that you end the locker room meeting, the first ever event, you go, "Y'all ain't my family, y'all my friends." And I was like, I love that, man, because I feel like that word gets thrown around and actions speak louder than words. And the fact that you went the extra mile outside of shows at local restaurants and things and concerts and all that sort to help fund, you know, get well, Adina, get well, Mike, and their injuries and all that. Why did you go that extra mile?
Well, just like I said in that meeting, Rob, I've been hearing that rah, rah, we're a family speech for over 20 years. You know, I've been wrestling since 2002, not consistently, but I've been wrestling since 2002, and I've been around wrestling since like 98, 99. I have heard that we're a family, we're a family, we're a family. But how many times when your family members are down and out, do you just see people forget about them? I don't like the idea of family because it reminds me of an obligation. You know, we're family, so you're obligated to do this for me, or I'm obligated to take care of you. No, these people in my locker room, these people that are involved with the shows that I put together, the people that I allow into my life, they're my friends. I've chosen them. That's why they're there. That's why it's so fucking hard to get into our roster. That's why it's so hard to get on one of our shows. These are my friends, and I have so many more that I'd love to introduce to everybody, and you're going to get to see them. But Mike and Adina, like I said, Mike and I have thrown hands. I respect Philly Mike Swanson. He's done some incredible things, and he's going to do even more. Once that boy is healed up, he is going to do some crazy things. I'm going to keep fighting him as soon as he does. Adina Steele is my homegirl. You know, we don't have belts, but if we did, she'd be in the discussion for wearing it. These are my friends, so of course I'm going to help my friends. We're working on some more things for them too. Adina is foaming at the mouth to come back. She is just bound and determined to hurry up and get through this intelligently, but she doesn't want to be sitting long. Mike is taking his time. He's been wrestling for 4 years, 4+ years on a blown out knee. He's going to take his time so that when he comes back, he's stronger, bigger, faster, the best version of Philly Mike you'll ever see. And that's dangerous because that kid's nuts.
Yeah.
So better equip him and we're all doomed, but I'll still fight him.
I want to touch on something you said, Raj. I want to talk to you about, you mentioned no championships, and I think that's very interesting because a question I ask all the time on this podcast, we see a lot of the gold collecting, especially here in the Northeast, the Thanoses and all that. And I think it's actually very cool. I'm all about it. We just put up all Vicky's belts in like a display. It looks super cool. I love it. But that being said, I feel like the long-term storytelling is just as, or if not more important, man. And I think you have that philosophy. I see you cranking out the content all the time, the consistency. I'm all about long-term storytelling, man. Is that kind of your philosophy as well?
Yeah, I love storytelling in general. I believe in long-term storytelling. I also believe in short-term storytelling. This year with our shows at Classics, you're going to see a lot of one-night stories being told. I love a one or a two or a three-show story. MIT and Jason Furious just capped off a four-show story, and it was fantastic. And I prefer not to have the limitations of a championship floating in the mix. And I understand we have the High Tension Championship. And of course, that's because of our partnership with High Tension Wrestling. And because the fact that I absolutely believe in Mike Skyros, and the fact that he's not booked more is just absurd. His books are getting full though. So if you want him, book him now before you can't. I locked him in with every date I could, because I believe in Mike Skyros, whether he's got that belt or not. So out of courtesy, I'll give them that belt. But I don't feel like we need to have that plot device to tell our stories. It's great for some promoters, for some bookers, for some companies, for some wrestlers. Absolutely. I don't have anything against them. I just like the challenge of it's both a challenge and it makes it easier. I don't have to book around it, but I'm not booking to it. Right. So for some folks, they need to have some bookers need to have that belt to be working their story around. I would rather work my stories around having a belt, just not having to deal with it at all. It's eliminated a lot of politicking discussions and some really petty things that usually happen, that and having a carefully curated locker room. I have a lot more ideas flowing from other people, because it's not just, hey, how can I get me a championship? Now it's like, hey, I want to work with this guy. And I'm like, okay, well, how can we make that work? How can we make that make sense? Or how can we make it a little bit more fun than just a one-off match? And I think it's really opened some opportunities for storytelling, just to expand what we're able to do. I love breaking the norms. I love having norms, but I love breaking the norms. And storytelling, let me shred them to death.
I love it. That was actually one of my questions, man, because I'm a little bit of an against the grain kind of guy. I feel like you are too, man. I feel like the business is evolving a lot of ways. At the same time, I'm smart enough to know if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, certain things work for certain reasons. So I tend to toe that line, man. But I love that you said that, man. That's your philosophy. I got to ask you this, though. You know, you talk about MIT, KIT. I see that match is kind of made. What was your mindset there making it? You got the smart guy versus someone who, you know, let's be real. We interviewed down in Baltimore not too long ago, Kit Raff, and he had some things to say. We'll talk about that in a bit.
So I didn't book that match.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't book that match. I have a small circle of people that have earned the right, and I'll explain why I say earn the right, but they've earned the right to float ideas that I'll listen to. I'm not the easiest person to deal with.
Really?
I'm not, especially if it's my show. I'm not the easiest person to deal with. If it's somebody else's show, I will go along with whatever you want, whatever you need. I may, you know, pitch minor suggestions, you know, as it pertains to me, just so I can give a better performance. But on my show, I have a very distinct vision of what I want. And I'm also usually thinking about four or five shows ahead and how nuance affects everything and how things can weave in or be woven out. Sometimes something happens on a show that wasn't planned that now changes the next three shows. It's just how my brain operates. So these people in my circle deal with my neurosis. You know, they deal with me constantly scheming and churning and kicking around ideas and I'm a basket case, Rob. I'm an absolute basket case. This brain is like pop, 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 pop all the time. And my poor friends, four of them in particular that deal with me more than anybody else. Of course, Alex Watt, who just rubber stamps all of my terrible ideas, and amps me up to believe in them as much as he believes in me. And of course, Paige Watchy. Part of our little crew, we handle the production elements and overseeing some of the visual goals of Smash Master Wrestling. And of course, a very long time friend of mine, Brad DeMeo from Diamond City War Machines, who used to help with the booking at Grand Slam Wrestling, GSW, which was right here in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area. One of the first IWTV companies, actually.
Oh, wow.
And of course, Kit Raff, who's quickly becoming one of my closest friends in wrestling. Kit Rath booked that match.
Ah, okay.
I said to him, I said, who do you want? Every once in a while, I'll just say,
hey, we'll take the cameo, man. You know, I miss my guy.
He's grumbling. I hope he doesn't keep tearing off, popping an attitude. Like, yep, there he goes. Hey, come here.
I don't mind. Let's be real. Anytime there's a Smash Master Wrestling show, we know Thurman is the real star of the show. Let's be real.
Captain Thurman Munson.
Oh, the captain.
He's here.
Dude, it looks like he got a fresh cut, too. Looking good.
That's a whole thing. Yes, he does have a fresh cut. I have him on a schedule. We'll get back to Kit Raff here. Don't let me
forget. I'm all about the doggy cameos all day.
Good. Over New Year's Eve, New Year's Day weekend, I went with Philly Mike and Riley Crowe down to the GSW show at the Showboats because I'd never been. And we had a great time, but my mom was watching my dog the whole time. And I have him on a schedule with his groomer at Gucci Pucci. When I lived in North Carolina, I would schedule his appointments with her and drive up here to PA for his appointments. That's how I scheduled my visits home.
Okay.
It was around his grooming schedule. So, like, very particular. During the winter, I let him get shaggy because it's cold. And my mom had him and thought it would be a great idea for her to trim his bangs around his eyes so she could see his eyes. I did not sign off on this.
Ooh.
You think me and wrestling is a difficult situation? Me and my dog, and like interrupting how I have my very delicately built life, flexed out or fleshed out. She went off script. I was not happy. So when she delivered him, I was happy to see him, but then she didn't tell me until she dropped him off. So it's like, surprise.
She was hot-shotting it, man. She knew all the booking, brother.
She knew. She went into business for herself.
That's it.
Masty wasn't happy. So she said, he looks like an alpaca. And I didn't laugh. And I think that's when she knew that I wasn't cool with it. So I got him. I got him an appointment within like 2 weeks. With the groomer, Miss Lauren is absolutely, she sneaks him in because he's so small. She sneaks him in between clients. So like I hope nobody from my hometown watches this because they'll be pissed. Yeah. She's usually booked out like a month and a half to 2 months. And I can usually like weasel myself in within like 2 weeks. So as an emergency taking care of him, he got a puppy cut this early in the year. So now he's way off schedule. It's a whole thing, but yes,
it's a thing. I get it, bro.
So anyway,
yes.
Anyway, this gets my blood boiling. Kitty Raff,
come up with some sort of interesting match stipulation. I already see it, but go ahead.
I said, who do you want? Who do you want? And I said, you can't have Ricky Price. I already have a plan for him. So, because that's the one he wants. He wants to get his hands on Ricky Price and test that boy out. And it'll happen someday. Just not March 5th. So he said, I want MIT. And Kit Raff and Brad and I are all in pretty much the same mindset of we're setting the table for these young kids that are coming up through here. You know, we've done the 5, 6, 7, 8 hour drives for the $20 and $30 paydays to be on a dark match at some shindy in the middle of bumfuck New Jersey. You know, like
I knew you were going to say New Jersey. Yeah.
We've done it to death. And to again, Smash Master is supposed to be this platform. We want it to be this platform for everyone to get an opportunity to leap off. We're table setters. We're the old men. And Kit Raff's not even old, but he treats himself as one of the old men because he's helped train so many of these kids. So he wants to test out MIT. At the benefit show, Brad and Pin Hat tested out TOP, which is Ricky Price and MJ Stacks. I wrestled TOP. Me and Skyler wrestled against them. So, like, we're trying to make sure that our kids, before we really start pushing them down everybody's throat, and we will, we are totally going to be shoving them down everybody's throat because they're that good. We want to make sure that they're going to pass quality control, and we are quality control. So, yeah, so I'll let Kit Raff book his match.
I love that, man. And when we talked to Kit, man, he did mention, like, he, and you know, we always ask like what everyone's goals are moving forward, you know, just keep up with everybody. And he said he actually found out that he loves doing the training and he loves training the kids, man. So I think that's awesome. And I love the platform that you're doing. But he also said, man, and I am fantasy booking over here, I just ask the questions, but he says he feels that he is the true son of Scranton and he wants to earn that title, man. Your thoughts on that? Because he says Johnny Morant is from Troop and he's from Scranton, so he should have that title.
I don't want to stick on this topic for too long, but Kit Raff actually lives in Scranton. Johnny lives in Troop. I mean, that's geographical fact.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you want to go with that, then Kit Raff has the claim.
I'm a stats guy. Okay.
Yeah. You know, like if you want to boil it down to brass taxes and faxes, you know, because that's what we do in wrestling.
Is nice. Nice.
You know, then Kit Raff's got that claim. Honestly, I think out of anybody, Adina Steele should call herself the son of Scranton. She's got that town owned lock, stock and barrel, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to be the first lady to Miss Adina Steele is more than welcome to. But she's the true ruler of the Electric City, man.
Great, great answer. I always say daughter of Scranton when she comes out. I ran it by her too. I made sure that was cool, man. But you ain't wrong, bro. I like that. She's the face that runs the place. Let's be real. Great answer,
right,
man.
That's great, right. Answer, she's man. Crown royalty here.
That's it.
I'm not even from Scranton. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's a thing in our area code. So I always tell somebody this is about the 570, and that's more than just Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton area. Like, they get all the love, but I mean, we stretch as far west as Lock Haven and Williamsport, and as far east as Stroudsburg. That's a pretty big chunk of land. I'm from Bloomsburg. I'm from the country. I'm from the sticks. So when everybody's bitching about who's the top dog in Scranton, I say, who cares? I'm the wild Appalachian. I come down from the mountains. I whoop asses. I go home and I sleep.
Yeah, man. I love it. Living the dream over there, Raj. I love That's it, right. bro. I got to ask you this one. I think it's so cool. The stuff you've been doing with Tommy Vex and Mary Elizabeth. Again, I haven't been there for a while. And then, you know, you talk about having this platform for the up-and-comers. But the stuff you're doing with this kid, Gavin, man, who dresses as the wrestler. You know, I know Kit has a special relationship with him. And, you know, there were crayons being broken. Now there's some sort of ban. I don't even know what's going on with all this stuff. I haven't kept up with everything. I've been away for a while, man. But it's really cool that you're involving all them. I think Tommy and Mary Elizabeth, sometimes they got some bad attitudes, but they've been involved in some very interesting long-term stories that I have been a fan of. That being said, man, what's your kind of philosophy in involving like the kid, Gavin, and like the community?
Man, kids like Gavin are the reason we do this.
Ding, ding, ding.
Every single one of us that's in the ring, outside the ring, around the ring, part of the ring, jumping through the ring, whatever, it's all because we love wrestling, which means we need to escape from whatever shitty reality that we really live in. Because let's face it, this world is not easy, right? So wrestling provides this great opportunity to break away. We can go back to being kids again. We can go back to like complete fantasy land, joy and happiness. This is why I'm always harping on everyone to have fun doing this. If it's not fun, it's not worth doing, right? So like Gavin comes along, and man, like we've worked a lot of these little podunk towns in front of a dozen, two dozen people, you know, and we, it's heart and soul, you know. There ain't no paydays on two dozen folks in the crowd. And to see a kid like Gavin go the extra mile, that lights a spark like that, man. So Gavin and his dad have gotten super involved with not just coming to shows, but helping out. Like they help Gavin coming up to me after a show. Mr. Masty, where can I put the curtains from the entryway? And I'm like,
wow,
don't play, kid. You know, so we try to give him a chance to be as involved as he can be. And that got us into a little bit of trouble with the state. Somebody told the commission that we were allowing a juvenile, a minor, to wrestle, which is not accurate. Gavin has had no physical contact with any professional wrestlers. However, he's been in the ring and had a microphone and talked. He has not laid hands on anyone. Well, we were basically told to cease and desist. And Tommy took it upon himself to take claim for it, just so that we could make something out of a shitty situation. We could take ownership of it, turn it into an angle, have fun with it, smile about it so that we're not all miserable. But man, there's miserable fucks out there that just like to start trouble, call the commission and blow things up. And the last thing we want is to get anyone involved with a promoter's license and involved with our parent organization in any kind of trouble. So, you know, we've got to tone it back this year. But that's the thing, that now I have boundaries to work within. And Rob, they gave me boundaries. I'm going to push them.
I know.
I am going to push them because that is just at my core. That's who I am. That's my nature. So Gavin will still be involved. It'll just be a little bit different. Tommy and Mary have been absolute gems in working with Gavin. And in fact, I asked Tommy, I said, hey, do you want matches or do you just want to keep feuding with an 8-year-old? He's like, why the hell would I want to wrestle? I get to play with my best friend.
Aww.
So they've got that going. I give them, I basically carve out what would be a match. I carve out that time and I give it to Tommy to let him and Gavin figure out what they're going to do next. It's a human cartoon. It's live action cartoons. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We got some cool stuff in the works for that. Some things that Tommy's going to get himself into, some people that, you know, Gavin will pop up here and there. He's going to be very active behind the scenes. You'll see him do some Mean Gene style backstage interviewing. We've got some fun stuff for Gavin because we want to make sure that he stays involved. And we want all these other kids to see, like, hey, pro wrestling can be for me because wrestling's for everybody. Everybody. Every fucking buddy.
Love that. Yeah, man. And I totally thought the whole thing, like a kid had mentioned something, man. I was really just playing into the angle right there. I didn't even know that. Like, I really thought it was an angle, man. That's
you, brother.
That's news to me, man. No, I'm sitting here playing into this, man. It's crazy, man. But he's great kid, great family. And he draws pictures for all the wrestlers. So that's very cool. But you mentioned Tommy Vex, Mary Elizabeth. Now the Scrambler has been a mainstay of, you know, Smash Master Wrestling. We've seen, AJ Evers, I think, has won a couple of them.